Morning, Red Chapel. Morning. For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Jessica, and it's true, Pastor Donnie did steal my hair color, for those of you guys who are wondering. He came back from vacation, and I was like, oh, we have the same hair, okay. I just want to thank my pastors for giving me the opportunity to be here today. For the next 5 minutes, I wanted to share what Red Chapel means to me and how I've been able to grow here. As I was asking God to help me put this message together, I really felt him put in my heart the word community. And I honestly feel like God was pushing me to speak on community just because it was something that I've experienced firsthand here at Red Chapel. And I have plenty of experiences that I can share today. I only have 5 minutes, but I have plenty of experiences that I can share where I've experienced community and family here at Red Chapel. But the one that I wanted to share today was last year I got married, and we were about to get married, me and my husband, and we were saving up for our first home, and we were really broke because all of our stuff was going to our savings. All of our money was going into our savings. And one Sunday, Pastor was teaching on pouring into the people at Red Chapel, financially, or pouring into your church financially. And that Sunday, he caught me and Victor off guard because he called us up to the altar, and he was like telling our story, like, oh, they're about to get married. They serve here at Red Chapel, and he opened it up so that everyone was able to come to the front and give us money financially. And it was such an amazing experience because we didn't know that that was going to happen. So it just like warmed my heart to know that the people at Red Chapel were so giving towards our future. And with that, like, we were able to get married and buy our first home. And I'm forever grateful for that. And that's what Red Chapel means to me. Is Red Chapel is family, Red Chapel is community, and that's what Red Chapel is to me, and that experience I'm never going to forget. And I wanted to just give three quick points on what community means. And it's, if you guys can remember anything, I hope that you guys remember these three points. Community means availability. We live in such a fast-paced world where all of our time is allocated to something, whether it's work, school, family, or church. We're always busy doing something, and availability to us might mean sacrifice. But the fruits that come out of community far outweigh the sacrifices that come, because being available means that you're willing to spend time with each other, real time, time for conversation and interaction, time with people who are going to uplift you. So community means availability. The next one is community means vulnerability. This is such a hard one even for me. I love vulnerability, but at the same time, I hate it. I love to see the raw truth in others, but I'm afraid to let others see it in me. And I think we're all guilty of kind of living this false life, in a sense, not to be dramatic, but I think we're all guilty of walking around like we have it all together, and we really don't. Posting photos that make us look like everything's perfect, when in reality it's not. And when I talk about vulnerability, I mean vulnerability in our feelings. Feelings are what create connections, and if we aren't willing to open up our lives to others, we will never experience true community. Community means stability. If we want to experience community, we need to be rooted somewhere among people. If we constantly move in search of greener pastures, we will never be around long enough to grow roots necessary for community. And community can't happen on its own. I always remind myself that we, the people, are the church. And the church isn't this building. The church isn't Sunday mornings, but the church is the people of it. And we should search for community, and we should search for church during the week. We should search for church whenever we have the opportunity, because we are the church, and church isn't just this building and Sunday mornings. Earlier this year, Pastor Donnie kind of shared, we were given the privilege to lead our young adults ministry here at Red Chapel. And my husband shares a story about where he was at right before we were asked to lead the young adults ministry. He says that he felt like we would go to church on a Sunday morning, and we would hear word, we would sing music, and then we would go home, and during the week, we would just go about our week, and then we would come back, and it was the same thing over and over. We would just come in and go out, come in and go out. And he started to pray to God and ask God, God, I really want to connect with someone that I can grow in life with besides me, and because I'm too cool, so no, just kidding. No, besides me. And he started to pray to God, and he's an introvert, so for him, like, that's like really out of the ordinary, because if you know, introverts are like pretty shy and quiet, and for him to like pray to God and ask that was like huge for him. And I think that God looked down on Victor and laughed, because a couple weeks after that, we were asked to open up like this young adults ministry, and we were able to open it in our home. And I think God looked down at Victor and was like, oh, you asked to connect with one person, but here's a group of people that you're able to connect with. And that's the kind of God that we serve, is that he's not going to give you just one thing, but he's going to give you many things. And I just kind of want to close with challenging you guys. I know we have small group signups coming up. If you guys come to Red Chapel, if you don't, find somewhere where you're from in your community and just embrace that community, embrace the church, your local church, and just all the people in it and everything that comes with it, because community is awesome. And just to kind of recap, community means availability, it means vulnerability and stability. Thank you, guys.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Come on, let's get it. Let's get it, man. How's everyone doing this morning? I don't know if I was supposed to do a drum solo for this or preach, but I'm going to preach. All right, so I hope everyone's doing great this morning. If you're not, then I hope you leave with you know, motivation, or just leave not the same way you came in this morning, okay? So the points I'm going to be talking about today is really basic, really practical, but I just want you guys to, you know, just be motivated and being excellent with your life. So a quick story about who I am and what I do here at Red Chapel. My name is Anthony Vega, for those who don't know me. I served through many different places, or many different, serving moments in this place. I've been with the Red Chapel for about 7 years. From 2012, I started with RC Kids. I went to Rise Youth. Where's Rise Youth at? What's up, Rise Youth? Man, I love those moments in my life where I can just remember, like, we used to be all crazy. But, yeah, I served there. I served with the media. I do a lot of music. I do a lot of stuff here at the church. And there's a reason why. Let me tell you why. My point for today is finding excellence through confidence. And how many of you guys can be honest with yourselves and say, you know what, sometimes I deal with life and just feel like I'm not important? Who has felt that before? I know I have, and I've gone through a lot of that in my life. But you know what? There's a moment where you either choose to be that person and not be excellent, or not confident in yourself, or excel with your life and not be still. So the first point I'm going to be talking about today is don't confuse your future with your past. There's a famous quote from Pat Riley, for those who don't. Who know Pat Riley? He's the president of the Miami Heat. And it goes like this: excellence is a gradual result of always striving to do better. Can you guys agree? So let's picture this real quick. If God has called us to do great things in our lives, how do we do that? How can we be better in our lives with that? So there's a verse in the Bible that I feel like really relates to what I've gone in my life and what I've gone through in my life and the place in my life where I'm at now. And it goes like this, from John 21:3-6. If you guys want to turn to your Bibles real quick, it's John 21:3-6. But it goes like this. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "Welcome to," the disciples said. So they all went out to the boat, but they caught nothing all night. They caught nothing all night. These are professional fishermen. At dawn, Jesus was standing at the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" They replied and said, "No, we have not." Then Jesus said, "Why don't you guys put your nets to the other side of the boat?" So they were like, "All right, I mean, what do we have to lose? We haven't caught anything from now." So they did. They put their nets to the other side of the boat. And once they did that, something really miraculous happened. They were catching so many fish that they weren't even able to handle it. So if our goal is to believe that God is my confidence, how can we be confident in myself? Sometimes we go through life and we feel like we're not, you know, we're not up to par, or we're not good enough, or I'm not cute enough, I'm fat, I'm chubby, I'm too cute, maybe I'm too cute. But we go through these things in life, and it's serious. A lot of people have doubt in themselves, and a lot of people get comfortable with that because they tell the other person, "Ah, man, you know, I don't want to be your friend because you're ugly, or I don't want to be your friend because you're not good enough for me." And people feel like they're comfortable in that position and get stuck in that position where they can't get out. But in this story, there is a really miraculous part that I want to focus on. And it goes like this. When Jesus told them to cast their nets to the other side, what did they do? They obeyed and they listened. Why? Because all night they didn't catch any fish. They got comfortable with their tradition or their, you know, everything they did. And Jesus just opened up a door for them and said, "Cast your net to the other side." So they did, and guess what happened? They caught so many fish, they weren't even able to handle it. Now, just picture this. Everybody close your eyes real quick. Just picture a moment in your life where you felt like you weren't good enough, and you're comfortable, and you're like, whatever, I don't care about life. Now, there's a door to that right side of yourself or right in front of you, and God is telling you, open the door. Open the door because I have great things for you. I have great things for you this morning, and you're not going to leave the same way you came in today. Open your eyes. Did you guys open that door? Because I know I did. At the beginning of this year, oh, man, I feel like I'm on fire. Woo! Wow, I'm really preaching right now. Woo! Wow. I'm going to go over 5 minutes. I don't care. Sorry, Pastor. Sorry for everybody else. Dang. Man, I got the chills up in here. But at the beginning of this year, I evaluated myself, and I was thinking to myself, how can I be better in my life? How can I be a better Christian in this church, or a better Christian to my friends, a better Christian to my family? How can I be that vessel in this world that God is calling me to be? So if my point is to find excellence with confidence, we have to do that. We have to be confident that God is calling us to greater things, that God has called us to do better in life. If you're at a moment in life right now where you feel like you're so comfortable, you're fine in your job, you're fine where you're at church, not serving or serving or not serving at all, God called you to do better. God is our excellence, and if God is my excellence, then we have to be confident that God is going to get us through it. Amen? Come on, man. So my second point today, this morning, is how do we take that confidence and lead it in ourselves? Or how do we get that confidence to be in us that we can be so excellent that the people around us are going to be like, what the heck? What is this guy doing? You're different. That's what's happening. You're different. You're in this building this morning because God called you to this building. You're not here by chance. You're not here because, you know, the sun's out, I'm just going to get up and do something. No. God called you to this church, Red Chapel, because you've connected with somebody. You've connected with somebody in this church, and God has placed that person in your life. So we have to lead with our confidence and believe that God has greater things in our lives. Amen? So I'm going to finish off with this verse before I do a drum solo. And it goes like this in Colossians 3:21. Whatever you do, work heartily. I'm going to stop there. It says work heartily. That means do everything in excellence with your heart. It didn't say just get up in the morning and just do whatever you want to do. No. God has called us to do excellent things in our lives. And it goes like this. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. I just want to pause real quick. At the end, it says, as for the Lord and not for men. It's so simple, guys. Like, it's so simple. If we're going to be excellent in our lives, we can't rely on other people. We can't say that we're just going to be excellent because this other person told me to. We have to be excellent because the Lord told us to. Not another guy or not another girl, not another a person in this life. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That's what I have for you guys this morning.
I wanted to walk out to Lady Gaga, but I forgot to send Steven the song. Gosh. All right, good morning, Red Chapel. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Penny. As Donnie stated, he kind of took my thunder a little bit. I'm married to Steven. I need to clear something up because a lot of you think Steven is Donnie. And it's really weird. I'm not going to lie because that's my brother. I'm not married to my brother. I'm married to Steven. Thank God Donnie dyed his hair. Let's just say that. Okay. So for the past 9 months or so, I have really felt that God has just spoken to me to speak life, the word life. I didn't know, how do you do that? Do you walk up to somebody and say, hey, God said to speak life, so life. I don't think that's what he meant. So I got to thinking, maybe I am to be life to people, to show them how we can embrace a God life. And so here's what I felt God was actually saying to me. So my title today is This is Life, the Love Life. Mark 11:24, it's the Message version. It says, embrace this God life. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too much to you. This mountain, for instance, say, just go jump in the lake. No shilly-shallying, and it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything, which that's a lot. So if you don't know, you're going to see it today. I was born with a left facial palsy. Basically, there was no nerve or muscle on my left side. I've had surgeries to fix it. First one, they took a nerve out of the bottom of my left leg and put it all the way across. Second one, a muscle out of this thigh, put it in. Just to give it some movement, maybe it helped, I don't know, whatever. I remember my mom telling me a really funny story when I was little. I'm looking in the mirror as a little kid, thinking, man, how could I fix this? And I guess I told her, hey, I guess it just needs batteries. I thought, when she told me that, I'm like, how easy would that have been? Like, batteries. I love batteries. They could have fixed it a long time ago when I was a little girl. But my mom never let me wallow in self-pity. It was just, it's me. I'm Penny. This is who I am. I ain't going to lie. It is a struggle. It's an outward insecurity. Steven can vouch for me every day. I struggle with self-image. Do I look okay? Does this look okay? It's every day for Steven. Poor guy. So many times I've prayed, God, please heal me. Why am I like this? This God life I have been given, what am I going to do with it? I read this quote. It says, you were given this life because you are strong enough to live it. I think we all struggle with some kind of life. It's hard. Life is hard. But our scripture said, embrace this God life, and you will get God's everything. I joke around with all my friends, my mom friends, and I say, I'm a life mom. I tell my daughter and my sons all the time, I'm a life mom. I'm trying to help them prepare for life and navigate this hard life that we have, the obstacles that come with it, the good, the bad, the stressful, the insecurities, what makes you nervous. Maybe if you have bullies, I know there's kids in here, if there's people bullying you, they say mean things. This is life. Maybe it's the craziness of keeping up with the house or keeping up the demands with the work life or both. I do both. Or trying to figure out who you are. This is life. God says, before I laid the foundations of the earth, I thought of you. He planned out the people and the places he would give us. He laid out our neighbors and our workplace. How are we going to make it better? What can we do to change it? How can we become the men and women of God that speak life to people? One more quote I found. I tweaked it a little bit to go with my little lesson today. It says, I aspire to be a giver of love, a giver of God life, and then for all the teenagers, a giver of good vibes, and a giver of strength. So my last scripture to end, it just reminds me of the story of how batteries is a simple fix to a lot of things in life. It's just so easy. This scripture says, it's Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, the Message version. It says, now that we have Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let it not slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who's out of touch with our reality. He's experienced it all but the sin. And this is my favorite part. He says, so let us just walk right up to him and get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. At the end of every day, I know I have the priest, the high priest who's God. He's not out of touch with my life, the God life he's been giving me. Ultimately, any of our securities, our failures, our struggles, they always drive us back to God. All we have to do is walk right up, like the scripture says, and just take the help. And that's it.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Oscar Hinojosa, like Pastor was saying, and I'm going to put a clock on because I love to talk, and if I don't time myself, I'll be here for a while. So I'm honored to be here this morning. I'm going to share a talk with you that I've titled Always Running, which is also the title of a book I love to read. That's actually what saved my life when I was younger, so if you have a chance to read this book, it's called Always Running. The Bible describes life as a race. It implores us to run with endurance, run to get the prize, and not to run aimlessly. Hebrews 12:1 puts it like this. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Corinthians 9:24 and 26 say this. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. The Rarámuri Indians of the Mexican state of Chihuahua know this concept of running all too well. The term Rarámuri actually means those who run fast, and they are well known for their endurance running. They can run up to 200 miles at once without taking a break or getting tired. Runner's World magazine actually wrote an interesting expose on these people to try to get the secrets of their endurance running. And in that article that Runner's magazine wrote, an anthropologist describes their hunting abilities this way. He says that the Rarámuri practice something called persistence hunting. They literally run their prey to death. So imagine this, a group of about 15 or 20 guys, they get together and they decide they want to go after this deer or this lion or whatever animal they do. And then they just start running after it. And after a few days, after a few months, a few weeks, the animal eventually gets so tired that it just lays down at their feet. And you can see a picture there of the Rarámuri while they're running. Another quote from the article, this is from a track coach from Colorado State. So there's a lot of people that try to get access to the Rarámuri tribe. They actually live very, very deep in the mountains, and it's hard to get a hold of these people. Real quick side note, when the Spaniards came to conquer the indigenous people, this is the only group of people that was not able to be conquered because all they did was run. They literally ran. They ran as far as they could into the mountains of Chihuahua, that the Spaniards and the Catholic Church eventually gave up on even trying to conquer them. So people try to get access to them. People go study them. They want to find out, what is it about these people? They can run and not get tired. So this track coach from Colorado State, this is what he said. He says, after running 50 miles, they didn't even look tired. They stood around and talked like if nothing had happened. The harder they ran, the happier they became. It says, glee and determination are usually opposite emotions. Yet, when the Rarámuri were running, they were both at once. It was as if running to death made them feel more alive. Heart disease, high blood pressure, and cholesterol do not exist in the Rarámuri tribe. Neither does crime, child abuse, and domestic violence. They are so consumed with running that it seeps into every area of their life, and they have no time for anything else. Their love for running makes their life better, and it makes them healthier. The Rarámuri are always training. They're always running. The rosary approach to running really sticks with me because I think that's how we should be as Christians. Running to death should make us happier. Living in this world of pain, lies, letdowns, and frustrations should only push us to run harder. We should be so consumed with carrying out the will of God for our lives that we have no time to waste on worldly passions or desires. The fabric of our lives should be Christ, so that everything we do is stitched with his presence. All of us are running, believe it or not, we're all running a race. And some of us are running it the complete opposite way that the Bible tells us to. Some of us are running with no endurance. We're running with no direction, no prize, no goals in mind, no joy. And that's actually a frustrating and shameful way of living. We're actually wasting our life by doing that. And the reason I can say that is because I was there once. Back in the summer of 2012, my family and myself first started coming to this church, and I was running life aimlessly. I had no prize, no goals in mind, no dreams. I kind of knew what I wanted out of life, but I was too busy really being an idiot. I'm just going to put it that way. I had a lot of pride, a lot of arrogance, that I was just kind of just, like Anthony said earlier, I was complacent. I was kind of happy where I was at. Back in that summer of 2012, believe it or not, I was 40 pounds heavier. I had really long hair. I had a long beard. And I was the lead singer and guitar player for a rock band. And most of my life consisted of just wanting to rock out, which my wife didn't really appreciate. All I wanted to do was rock out, people. and I spent a lot of time doing that. A lot of time with my friends, with my band, just hanging out, just being a knucklehead. And it wasn't until I realized that I was messing up at home that I realized I needed to change. I was missing a lot of important events. I missed back-to-school shopping. I missed birthdays. I even missed Flora. She had a spinal tap when she was in the NICU. And guess who wasn't there? This guy right here. So when we came to this church, I was tired of being that guy. I didn't want to be that guy anymore. And, you know, my wife obviously wasn't too happy with me either. So when we came here in the summer of 2012, we had been married about 9 years. And in those 9 years, I had seen my wife, Stephanie. She's right there. I had seen her evolve into this great woman of God. While I had morphed into Tungus, the AMPM mascot. If you haven't seen him, that's him right there. That's who I was. I was this chubby guy with long hair. I just wanted to rock out. And it just wasn't really working, right? The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. But I wasn't the sharpening tool that my wife needed. I was very dull. It took me about 3 years of coming to this church to realize what Pastor Donnie wanted to do with this church, Pastor Sonia, and also to let God kind of begin to change things in my life. I went from a person who didn't want to volunteer or get involved to pretty much doing as much as I could, just like Anthony said earlier. Like Pastor said, my wife and I, we're in charge of the iRed ministry. We're also involved with the small groups ministry, which signups are going to come up next week, and I highly encourage you to sign up. That's one of the steps I took. I changed my life here at this church. The last 5 years, the transformative power of the Holy Spirit has really taken a hold of me and charted a new course for my life, a course for greatness. Because guess what? Greatness is what God wants for you and for me, right? Success and goodness, that's what God wants for us, right? And it took me a while to realize that. I thought God wanted me to stop rocking out, but it wasn't it. God said, look, man, I have all these wonderful things for you. And this is what God has for you this morning, found in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So since I started coming to this church, a lot of crazy things have happened in my life, really good things that Tumgus would have never realized, right? Number one is I currently sit on two commissions in the Inland Empire. I get to work with politicians in drafting and working on policy. I got a promotion at work, right, which is always good, right? Yeah, and you know, again, Tumgus is not going to get a promotion at work. And I ran for political office in November, which is the craziest thing that ever happened to me, but all glory to God because he's the one that put it together, right? And I'm currently trying to be a consultant and, you know, for community groups and schools. I'm doing a lot of things that if I wouldn't have, you know, followed God, I wouldn't even be doing it right now. So to finish up, all of us are running a race, either by design, by default, or aimlessly, right? All of us are always running. We're busy people. We have no choice but to always run. My question to you this morning is, what are you running after? Thank you.
Good morning, Red Chapel. I'm excited to be here and so excited to be part of the 5x5. It's awesome. When they told me I was part of the 5x5, I'm like, oh, okay, that's awesome. That's great. And God had already kind of like dropped a study in my spirit. So I was like, oh, okay, well, this is awesome. Because what better timing than now than for God to just drop something in my spirit and I get to share it with all you guys. So that's awesome. And I love it when the Holy Spirit and I just gel that way because it just gives me confirmation that I'm hearing from God. So I wanted to talk to you today about growing your faith because it kind of goes hand in hand with every other speaker that you heard before me today. It is the main and vital way that we grow in our Christianity. I wanted to adopt Pastor Donnie's sticky statement because it's just awesome for me. It gives me a little takeaway every Sunday. And today I want to tell you that the sticky statement is faith is a verb. I know teachers and English scholars, it's pretty confusing because we were all taught that faith is a noun. But today I don't want you to ever think of faith as a thing. So if you want to rely on faith, I want to share with you a scripture really, really quick, and I think that this is a very vital part in what faith means. In James 2:26, it says, "The body without the spirit is dead, and in the same way, faith without works is dead." So if you think about the spirit being in the body, the spirit is the thing that animates you. It's the thing that keeps you going. Once our spirit leaves our body, we're just a carcass, right? So if we're supposed to think of faith in the same way, then faith without works is dead. That means that the faith that you have, that is the thing that animates you, the body of Christ, in movement. That's the thing that keeps you going forward. This is a very, very vital thing because God intends for us to grow our faith by acting with the expectation that we will get the end result as long as we exercise our faith in action. So that brings me to my first point, which faith requires action. So without that, faith does not work. You have to always be in constant momentum. This is the way that we grow in our faith. I want to tell kind of a funny story because when my boys were little, we had bunk beds. And of course, Isaiah was too little to get on the bunk beds, but he'd always find his way up there. And as soon as I would see him up there, like he's kind of looking, you know, he's only 2 years old, doesn't really want to get down. And I'd say, come on. And he'd look at me and I'm like, do you trust me? And then without even thinking about it, this big old smile, and he would just leap off the bed into my arms and I'd be like, whoa, you know? But he didn't even think about it. So one morning I'm making up the bed, he's on the floor playing with the trucks. And then he looks up and he sees me up there and then he stands at the bottom of the bunk bed and he says, Mom, do you trust me? And I'm like, yes. And then he says, well, jump. I mean, come on. I mean, he was believing it in faith. I could have just jumped on him, but I probably would have squashed him like a bug. But I just think it was really important that he learned that trusting is the way that he accessed faith. So for him, he felt like no matter how big Mom is, if she jumps, I'm going to catch her. So that's just one way that faith in action can help you actually grow in the things of God. That brings me to Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The second point I want to make that as far as faith is concerned, we must always affirm our faith. Faith requires affirmation. So you cannot just say, oh, I believe, and then say, I lost my job. Yeah, my kids are not behaving and there's nothing I can do about it. You basically have to declare exactly what God says and speak life over what signs of faith that you have. If you are sick, you don't just go home and say, I'm sick. The doctor said, you know, they can't heal me, so I'm just going to write a will and create a bucket list. No, you say, you grab that prayer partner and you grab a hold of them and you say, this is the report that I'm getting. But this is what I want to do in action and in faith. I want to grab that sister. I want to grab that brother and say, touch and agree with me. And in the name of Jesus, we can beat this thing. God is bigger than cancers. God is bigger than sickness and any disease in your body. I want to share with you Timothy 6:12. This is an awesome scripture. It says, fight the good fight of faith along with other believers. And I thought it was pretty important that God didn't say, fight the good of fight the good fight of faith along with yourself. He said, with other believers. And the reason why I want to put emphasis on that is because when you are in a situation where you are believing in faith, please don't suffer alone. Please don't go through things without leaning on your brother or your sister, without plugging into a small group, without finding other Christians of like precious faith, without grabbing a hold of that prayer partner and saying, this is what's happening to me. This is what my marriage looks like. This is what my son's going through. This is what happened to my father. This is what's going on with my mother. You have to stand in faith and join together. There is power in agreement. And if you continue to just act in faith, God hears you. And the first part of that verse says, fight the good fight. So I don't know about you, but if I say the fight was good, it's because I won. Yep. So that's pretty awesome. So whenever you hear somebody say a good fight, it's either because the person that you expect to win is winning, or it's just because I'm winning. So with that being said, I just want to encourage everybody today that you can fight the good fight of faith. You do not have to be the same as your alcoholic father. You don't have to be the same as an abusive mother. You don't have to inherit sickness because your grandma has it. Diabetes does not run in the family of God, just so you know. God's promises you that. There is victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, guys. And one last note that I want to just leave you guys with is that any challenges that come your way and in any part of your life that you feel that you are lacking faith, there's two things that are missing. That is that action. Do it. There is there's one last story I'm going to just tell you, and God just kind of dropped it in my spirit now, and it may be for somebody, so I don't want to leave the stage without saying that right now. There was a woman when I was 16 years old. I attended Crenshaw Christian Center, and the church was large. And every Sunday, I would see her stand at the same door, and she had two Bibles, but she was always by herself. And I thought, like, wow, she really likes to study the Bible, because she's got two. And then I would see her go inside, and she'd sit down, and then she'd put the Bible on the chair next to her, but she would still be holding one. And I thought, that's weird. And then I noticed an usher came up and said, is anybody sitting here? And she said, oh, yeah, this seat is for my husband. And I just thought, like, I've seen her for, like, four Sundays, and she's always by herself. And I'm looking at my sister like, don't talk to her. She's weird. So, you know, we were teenagers, so we were still mean. We weren't fully sanctified yet. So maybe, like, 2 years down the line, and, I mean, she did this faithfully. She never gave up. Two Bibles, same door, saved a seat. And finally one day, this guy walks in with her. And I'm like, that's weird, you know? And then it was funny because sometime later, the church had her go up and tell her testimony. And her testimony was that her husband had no interest in going to church. He had been part of a horrible ministry growing up. Horrible things happened to his siblings, and he was just like, church, nope. She continued to pray, stand in faith, and that husband came to church that day. So be encouraged. So faith in action, you can do what God says you can do, and you can achieve in confidence what God says that you can do. Thank you, Red Chapel. You guys have a great one.
Wow. Come on, give her a big hand this morning.